the operations piece is key if you are in an industry like ours where, you know, operations is a big part of it. And I think to be as prepared as you can, because that is super important. You know, we probably could have got ourselves actually in quite a mess if we'd have tried to do that ourselves. So I think being realistic about actually what you can do and what you need to outsource initially. Don't try to do everything straight away.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, a couple of episodes back, in episode 531, we explored the acquisition or the post-acquisition path of Jamie and her brand, Cookie. And she bought a fairly small e-commerce business and over the course of 12, 18 months turned it into something really rather huge and shared with us her playbook for doing that. Super fascinating episode that I know a lot of you really enjoyed. So when I heard that one of our past guests, Laura from The Kid Collective, episode 433, 2 years ago, had made an acquisition in very different circumstances to Jamie in episode 531, then I just thought, let's have another acquisition story. Let's talk about something, a different take on acquisition. Now, Laura is already running a big e-commerce business and she bought last year a second big e-commerce business. So she's going to be taking us through that acquisition, what they've learned, lessons for you guys, what's been good, what's been bad, and what impacts it's had on the whole business. We're going to cover everything from team to buying to warehousing. All these kind of topics are coming up. So whether you're just intrigued about the whole world of acquisition, or you're plotting one yourself, or you're in the middle of one right now, this is really is one for you to listen to. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest top tips. We talk a bit of marketing and some very cool tech as well. And at the end, you'll also get my take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Laura Davies is the founder of The Kid Collective, a UK-based toys and parenting business with e-commerce stores on Blue Park and Shopify. Founded in 2008, they now process over 10,000 orders a month. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Clary.
Great to have you back on the show. How have the last 2 years been?
It's great to be back. Thank you, Chloe. It's been an interesting couple of years. Lots of change since we last spoke, lots to talk about. Yeah, excited to delve in.
Would it be fair to say the biggest change of the last 2 years has been the acquisition of Scandiborn?
Correct, yes. So, yeah, we acquired a very respected competitor of ours, Scandiborn, the end of May 2024. So, yeah, the journey since then has been very interesting, very busy, very exciting. But yeah, overall, really positive. We've learnt a lot. It's been really, really great.
Cool. I'm looking forward to diving into all of that. But before we get into how it's been, how long did it take from, oh yeah, let's buy Scandiborn, to actually that May position where you actually got your hands on it?
Yeah, great question. We started conversations in January of 2024, and then it was finalised at the end of May.
So fairly quick.
Yeah.
In the good old scheme of things. And I frequently describe my own acquisition of e-commerce tech in 2024 as a bit of an accident, because I wasn't planning it, but it came up and it was like, I have to do this, it'd be very stupid, but I was a bit on the back foot because it wasn't planned. Did you do better than me? Were you more planned than me?
I mean, as best as we could be. Obviously, it was a quick journey. We'd sold the Nappy Gurus brand in April, and then sort of once we knew that things were progressing, that was a strategic decision. And then, yeah, Scandiborn obviously came into the business officially at the end of May. And yeah, we kind of got ourselves in a stronger position as we could that first half of the year. And then we kind of had a couple of months over the summer to sort of settle in and get things as as strong as they could be before. Obviously, we hit peak season. We're a very seasonal business. So, you know, from September onwards, it was, right, let's just survive peak and then we'll review everything again in January. Yeah, it was as good as it could be. Nothing went too dramatically wrong. So
it's one of those challenges when you're in a very seasonal business is you know, in an ideal world, you'd spend X number of months just bedding it in and getting it all sorted and running some tests and all the rest. But no, peak comes along and you just have to kind of hold on. But I guess the good thing about that is you are kind of stress testing. You know, if you haven't noticed something by the time you get to January, it's not a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a ride. We got it as strong as we could. We had a really, really strong peak season. So, you know, there's absolutely no complaints. We know that this year we can be even stronger. We kind of knew the improvements that we could have made and that we can still make, but it's just time. There's time and resource. And then we had to accept, you know, there's only so much you can do. And Rome wasn't built in a day. And I feel like we need that printed on our wall. Like we'll get it done. Yeah.
Very cool. So let's talk about buying Scandiborn. You know, you got the keys, as it were, in May. What at that point was your objective, your strategy with the business? Was it straightforward growth and expansion? Was it customer merging? Was it learning new things? What were your initial plans of the value of it to you?
So by that stage, the Kid Collective had very firmly become a toy company. You know, we'd spent a few years testing different ranges and seeing what really worked for us on Kid Collective. And we did a rebrand and we had a really strong direction for that. The acquisition of Scandiborn was a strategic one for a number of reasons. It enabled us to enhance our overall presence. It increased our buying power, and it really just enabled us also to diversify in the parenting market, where we had the Kid Collective that was so strong in toys. Scandiborn is also very strong in toys. You know, toys is the strongest category on the platform. However, there's also clothing, there's furniture, there's nursery interiors. So there's a lot of scope for diversification, which is what we wanted to do. You know, over the years, I've learned that, you know, you have to keep evolving and I don't like to have all my eggs in one basket. You know, toys is great, but toys is very, very seasonal. So actually, where you've got things like the interiors and clothing, it does enable you to have a few more mini peaks throughout the year. So yeah, it gave us a lot of opportunity. And yeah, the sort of tech that came with it and the database that came with it and the presence in the market was too strong for us to turn down.
Because you kind of sit at that fork in the road, you're like, right, we need to diversify. You could have just built a furniture or a clothing brand organically using your existing database, maybe under the Kid Collective or maybe on a separate branding. What made you want to go for the acquisition route rather than the start it from scratch route?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That, you know, a start from scratch would have been an option for us. But Scandiborn has, you know, it had been around in the market for a number of years. It acquired a really strong reputation, really strong brand awareness. Like I said, an enormous database. The tech was there. Everything was there to just pick it up and run it. Obviously, you know, we've already done a lot of tidying up and a lot of changes and tweaks, and there's still more that we want to do. But the foundations were just there. So yeah, it was actually a really easy decision for us.
And of course, then you're 8 leaps ahead or something. Yeah. Everyone, I don't know what those 8 leaps would be. I'm just picking a number out of the air before anyone's going on. She said 8 leaps. you're so much further ahead because you've already got a customer base you can learn from and so on and so forth. So you mentioned the tech stack a couple of times, which I think is, I don't know, 5 years ago, no one would have mentioned tech stack in their decision to buy something. So why was the tech stack such a key part of the purchase for you?
So as you know, like our platforms, we've always worked with Blue Park Econ platform. With Scandiborn being on a Shopify plus, we have looked over the years about migrating on Shopify, but as we know, a migration comes with a whole world of pain, and it's just something that we never really took the leap to do. So by bringing in Scandiborn that was already on a Shopify, it A, enabled us to really test the platform without having to leap into it ourselves. And then it's also kind of given us that revenue protection. So when we do migrate, we've kind of got, you know, we've got that protection where, you know, if we do drop organically, the Kid Collective does rank really well for organic search. You know, we've put a lot of investment and time into the SEO piece. So the Shopify was great, but it has the gold standard of tech stack. You know, it is on the Shopify Plus. It's got the gorgeous for the customer relations. It's Klaviyo, which we use anyway with the Kid Collective. So, you know, we knew that, but it had an enormous database within that. It also has a portion of dropship. So that runs through modern dropship. So about 30% was running through dropship. I'd say probably that's probably more like about 20% now. So again, it kind of gives you a lot of levers to pull as well, with lots of different things going on. And then we've actually bought in some tech to further that, and we are continuing to do so. So we're really enjoying the tech piece at the minute. It's like, oh, you know, I think because we've had Blue Part, which is quite, it's a very comprehensive platform, but it doesn't have the scalability that Shopify does. So we're really enjoying actually being able to integrate all of these different softwares and the apps. And it's like, oh, we can do this now. We've always wanted to do that. Oh, now we can. So yeah, we're enjoying that very much.
I love that you've been able to get right. Okay, we know we've got probably got a tech, a replatforming coming up. How cool would it be if we could fully test out what we think is our new platform in the wild, when it's all ours, before making that leap, and test out the partners and the integrations and all the rest of it? So you've always got the SEO question, but you've ironed out so much of the other things. You're going to be so much more experienced when it comes to briefing and managing that, having already worked with one, which I totally get why the tech stack was an attractive part of the purchasing decision.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm assuming you bought some of the team over with you as well. Would that be the case, or was it a pure brand purchase?
We did. We've bought the customer service team. So they've been integrated with our existing customer service team. So yeah, they all work remotely, all run through Gorgeous now. So we migrated our customer service onto Gorgeous. So all of that runs through the same system now, which is nice. And then we bought in some new team members onto our team to obviously support Scandalborn. So we've got an interesting mix at the minute. So we've got some roles that run across both brands, and then we've got some that are dedicated per brand. But it's actually working really well.
Yeah, I'm never sure there's a perfect way of doing that, in terms of it must be two complete silos, or everybody must be able to work on both. Because I think sometimes it changes from role to role. You know, like if you've got someone who's buying toys, then it would be stupid for them not to work on both brands. But if you've got someone who's only buying furniture, where's their role in Kid Collective? But if you're on finance, I mean, really, does it matter?
You know? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually working really well. Like we have buyers for each brand, but then they work really collaboratively together, because there is obviously crossover of products that sell on both sites. And then soon we'll actually be able to do centralized ordering. So at the moment our stock is split, but we will be able to, you know, forecast and bring all of that in together. So they'll actually be working even more collaboratively than they are already. But then we've got like marketing, you know, that is, they do work pretty separately. But again, there's a lot of conversations. As you know, we all work in the same office, and there's a lot of talking, but yeah, quite sort of different strategies as well. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, which is great, because when you've got two brands playing in a similar marketplace, but which are very different, you should be able to test and learn between the two of them. You know, go, oh, that works. Gorgeous works really well on that customer service. Let's move everybody over onto that. Or, oh, we tried this thing with the email signups and it's awesome. You guys should be trying it too. It gives you that extra bit of test and learn, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
And how's the ops piece? Because I remember last time you were on the show, we talked a lot about the joys of keeping your fulfillment in-house. So was Scandalborn immediately in your warehouse, or have you gone through some phases with that?
Yeah. So in order to make the acquisition work, we had to outsource the operations for Scandiborn. So at the moment, we are running all of the Kid Collective operations on our own site, and we're running Scandiborn through a 3PL partner who are and have been absolutely fantastic. Like, I literally cannot fault them. However, for us, the goal and the longer term strategy was always to have all of those operations under one roof, and we wanted to manage them. It has been interesting. Again, it's been a learning opportunity to actually compare in-house operations to 3PL. And I can 100% see the pros and cons of both. Don't get me wrong. And I know, like, I've always advocated, you know, we love having our own warehouse. Like, and then you get into peak and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. But for us, I think it just, you know, we have a lot of different supply partners. Our product mix is very diverse. And for us, having that point of control is something that we really do want to have. So we've been really fortunate that we have secured a new location. So we are moving to a bigger unit this year, and we will be bringing all operations under one roof, which is going to help us tremendously from an economies of scale perspective, from a stockholding perspective, from a buying perspective. Everything will become a lot more centralized. And again, we're bringing in tech that is going to support that piece and enable that kind of forecasting and buying and operations kind of all much more seamlessly, which is going to be lovely. Ahead of next peak.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing that's a must be completed by August project.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, such a learning opportunity with buying a second business and incorporating it in and learning from all those different ways of doing things. No one else can see this. I can see the joy on your face of those learning experiences. Anything that surprised you that you weren't really expecting from the deal? Because there's almost always something that nobody anticipates, or that takes a different turn that you thought was going to be great and isn't, or that you completely disregarded and turned out to be amazing.
I wouldn't say that anything surprises. I feel like we knew what we were getting into. And because obviously we've already worked in the industry, we've already worked with a lot of the suppliers that they've come with the acquisition. However, there's been a lot of work to do on general, like, housekeeping and tidying up and maintenance within the Shopify platform. So that's been something that we kind of knew, but it has been more work than we were anticipating. And I suppose this would be the benefit of that. We have actually said about this, like, oh, it would have been so much easier if we just started a new website, and then we wouldn't have had to do all of this tidy up. But we're working our way through. We have chunked a lot of it off. We like to work neatly, I think, is it? And the platform just needed a little bit of love and a little bit of a little bit of tidy up, basically. And yeah, that's probably been the biggest hurdle so far. But, you know, we're working our way through it.
I like to work neatly too, but I think sometimes when you're tidying up something which is not as neat as you'd like it to be, you learn an awful lot in the process of tidying it up. So whilst, you know, you kind of get, oh, it would have been easier to start from scratch, you know, brand new spreadsheet or whatever, you know, your weapon of choice is. But sometimes you have to go through that, and you end up knowing the business better through tidying it up than you would have done any other way.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. And I'm sure our e-com manager will agree with that 100%. And, you know, and actually, you know, if we take our e-com manager, like, she, although she had worked previously in a lot of different roles, she hadn't actually ever worked on Shopify either. So it literally has come in, and we've all kind of been learning as we go. So yeah, you're right, actually, in doing those actions and really having to delve into every aspect and fix and tidy and improve, it's put us actually in a really strong position.
So, slightly cheeky question, as now the owner of the whole business, these two massive brands, how do you work out where to spend your time? Now it's kind of reached the point that Scandiborn's sort of bedded in, that, you know, the initial teething problems are out of the way. How do you work out where to focus day to day?
I think this is still something that I'm learning. Obviously, you know, we have got quite a big team now. So there's, last count, I want to say 25. So obviously the people management, you know, that is still very much me, or that, you know, we've got an operations manager who, you know, does sort of like that piece. But managing the team. And it is, in fact, I was just talking about this the other day, like, I feel like, and actually having grown the business from the ground up, you have to get involved in all the bits, the customer service and the marketing and the operations. And I feel like I know a bit about everything, but not enough to do that role myself. So it's enough to kind of support and manage the team that are owning those pieces. And, you know, we do have a lot of conversations, and I do try to check in with the team as much as possible in all the different areas. I also really love, I call it tinkering, and I love to just get into the site and just make some improvement, do a little bit of SEO. Like, if I ever have any time where I'm just gonna tinker, that's what I love to do. But I'm not getting as much time as that as I like. So, you know, the strategy piece is still really key for me. You know, I do invest a lot of time in networking, and I like to think ahead. I always like to think, right, what's next? And yeah, I spend a lot of time talking to people and, you know, keeping up those relationships and just trying to keep things progressing, really.
Nice. I love that. I do love a bit of tinkering too. It's very therapeutic, I think, tinkering. So if anyone listening is about to sign the paperwork or is thinking of going down the acquisition route to grow their business, any a couple of pieces of advice for them?
Firstly, I'd say if you've got a good feeling about it, just do it. Always trust your gut. For me, the operations piece is key if you are in an industry like ours where, you know, operations is a big part of it. And I think to be as prepared as you can, because that is super important. You know, we have been lucky this peak to have a great partner on that, but we probably could have got ourselves actually in quite a mess if we'd have tried to do that ourselves. So I think being realistic about actually what you can do and what you need to outsource initially, try to stage it, phase it if you can. It was a lot for us just bringing everything else in outside of the operations. That was a huge shift for us, not just in workload, but in culture and, you know, the whole thing. So I think just, yeah, be realistic really, and don't try to do everything straight away.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Laura, are you ready for the top tips?
I am.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So I feel like this probably isn't going to be new to many of your audience, but I want to talk about The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. I find this really interesting because, A, I find it really enjoyable. I love the historical anecdotes, but it does kind of go against my nature. Like, I'm not somebody who is sort of manipulative in that, you know, you'll do anything to get the power and to succeed. But what I find interesting about it and quite ironic is that it's enabled me to kind of recognize when potentially those things are being used against me, which is, it's happened actually quite recently. And yeah, I quite enjoy the irony of that. So yeah, I think it's a great book.
So it's not one I've come across. I'm going to have to go and look that one up straight after this and have a look. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Sometimes even if you're not learning something, to deploy it yourself, to learn it so you can recognize when someone else is attempting to deploy it against you.
Exactly.
Is worth doing. The traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So we love anything to do with partnerships, collaborations, advocates for the brand. So with the Kid Collective, that's been really key for us in building those core customer advocates who will shout about you to anyone and everybody. You know, we lean on them for reviews, for content, and we've built a really, really lovely network. With Scandiborn, it's a little bit different. Again, partnerships is key. Like, we've actually been able to secure some really good partnerships with Scandibon already that have given us huge reach to, you know, really aligned audiences, which has been fantastic. And we want to keep doing more of that. But we also do a lot of influencer activity with Scandibon, and that has been kind of core to that Scandibon growth throughout its history. So yeah, that would be my top tip on that.
Nice. Very cool. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So on this one, this is a app that we bought into Shopify since the acquisition, which is the order editing app. So it's very, very cool. I'm sure you're familiar with it. So yeah, it obviously enables customers to go into their order once they've placed it, make any amends, change the address. You can upsell, which is something that actually we're testing more of now. And certainly over peak, the impact that that had on our CX team was huge. It really did help to alleviate that pressure on, I've placed my order and I've put my postcode wrong. It took a huge number of tickets away. So that would be a really strong recommendation from me.
It is a mad app. You kind of go, how did this not exist 20 years ago? Why did we not build this? It's just like, how stupid are all of us for not having thought of this? Because it just delivers on so many fronts. Customer experience, lowering tedious jobs for the customer service team so they can do more interesting things. There's upsell potentials. Yeah, it's just, I mean, kudos to those guys for building it massively. So very, very cool app. And yeah, if I had a brand, I would so totally be putting it in place. Right, I think we've given them enough of a plug. but from the heart, no money changing hands here, people. The carbon top tip, what's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is, you know, the sustainability piece has been key for us from when the company was originally founded. That was what we specialised in terms of a product mix. We do, although our products have changed, we do continue to be conscious. You know, we are selective over the products that we sell and where they're sourced. Our packaging is recycled and recyclable. We did install solar panels on our unit. However, we're about to move, so that's a disappointment. But, you know, it's just we just always look for those sort of wins and how we can kind of elevate that. You know, it is one of our core values. So, yeah, anything that we can do, we will do that.
Brilliant. Laura, always a pleasure to chat with you. So thank you so much for coming on to tell us about your acquisition journey. Before we say goodbye, though, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chloe. So yeah, so you can find The Kid Collective on thekidcollective.co.uk, and Scandibon is scandibon.co.uk. And then you can find us on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, all with the same handles, The Kid Collective and Scandibon. Thank you.
Simple as that, everybody. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the E-commerce Master Plan podcast and sharing so much advice with the audience. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me back.
What a pleasure to have Laura back on the show. I love her hugely kind of pragmatic and straightforward approach to acquisition. They knew what the strategy was. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew that there was going to get a lot of learnings out of having a second e-commerce business that's been built by other people to see that tech stack, that their own warehouse wouldn't be able to cope with the volume straight away. So we're going to go with a 3PL and learn what we can there. Implementing tech between the two businesses, learning lessons between the two businesses, having a lot of ideas about what this is going to bring, but also being willing to twist and pivot as necessary. Really, really fascinating. I hope if any of you are going through an acquisition or planning an acquisition or thinking about doing acquisition, I hope that's helped you. You get your hands on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll go straight to the right page of the site. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And if you liked this episode, then why not check out our other Shopify episodes? You'll find those on the website at ecmp.info/Shopify. Thank you for tuning in to this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.